Marty McGee, good morning.
Beamy Award winner.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You can't hear Johnny, though, without the headset.
Oh, I didn't know we were. Okay. Never mind.
He didn't know we were doing a threesome.
Exactly. Oh, you got. Turn it around. Hold on. There you go. Now you got it.
When I came by earlier, Steve.
That's it. And now turn that up. The cup. Turn the cup. No. Here. Ba-doink. There we go. All right.
First time radio. Yeah, when I came by earlier, and I thought you said, I'm going to have Johnny V on. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, no. Johnny
not
D.
Johnny D. Okay.
Or as Jay Privman says, Johnny A, Johnny B, Johnny C, Johnny D.
Didn't he win the D.C. International back in the day?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. The Eclipse Award, too.
Yeah. Cawthon, was it not?
I'll leave it to you.
It's too early. It's too early for Cawthon, I think. I think. Somebody will look it up. They'll text it to you.
Look at you. Who's Brendan Walsh coming by? What do you say?
Brent P.
Here, take it. Wait a minute. Picture with Marty. You got to have a picture with Marty. This is an award winner.
He's a historic occasion.
A couple of Irish guys.
Yeah. You're Irish?
Well,
McGee?
My great-grandfather, Martin Alexander McGee, was from one of his counties back there.
How about that? How about that? I love it. I love it. Brendan Walsh just came by, who has a real chance to sweep the juvenile turf and the juvenile.
Absolutely.
Right?
I'm with you.
You're on that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We were just going over the Philly and Mare Sprint, Marty, and that's your race. And you've been tracking it together with me for a month. Covfefe is the starting point. However,
I mean, this track is not the way it used to be. I think that it might melt down a little bit. And, you know, if it weren't for the late lunge last year of Shamrock Rose to win the Philly Mare Sprint, three-year-olds would still be winless in this race.
It's true.
They had not, you know, historically, they've been poor performers in the Philly Mare Sprint.
Including horses like Unique Bella, who, if it wasn't for Lafitte Pinkai, Lafitte kept telling everybody at Del Mar leading into that race, a three-year-old is never, I got to find out from LP what's his new favorite Breeders' Cup axiom. Because that one now is toast.
If you go back and watch that race, Chalon, she's a dead winner with 40 yards to go, and then somehow Shamrock Rose gets up to win for the three-year-olds. And, you know, that was quite a 15-day span for her, winning the Raven Run, then winning the Philly Mare Sprint, and then down at Gulfstream she was no good, and then they ended up retiring her.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, I guess Covfefe and Come Dancing. I had a little conversation this morning with and Selcourt adds to the pace too. I've had Pratt's agent try and tell me it's going to melt down and that Bellafina is going to win, but you know he's a little bit biased.
Yeah, if you listen to him, Flavian Pratt's going to win 11 races over 2 days. Derek Lawson, pretty funny. When do you turn? Well, you're waiting for the draw. Who would be compromised by the draw? Should they end up inside?
I know. I guess one of the speed horses, either Covfefe or Selcourt. You know, talked to Sadler a little bit about Selcourt. And last year, if you'll remember, going into Churchill, she came in off the long layoff and she set a pretty fast pace on the lead. And then, you know, you couldn't find her at the finish, but. He was glad to get that race in the LA woman under her, and I guess he wouldn't. Everybody wants to draw the nine hole in a field of nine, I guess.
And what do they get when they get that, Marty?
They get the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear.
Yeah, baby.
And there's a definite lack of encumbrances out there, so that's why they want it.
I absolutely love it. And who among the price horses wouldn't surprise you?
Gosh, you know, with a nine horse field, we're not going to have that big of prices.
I'm
like Peter Miller. I'm worried. He said this 7 minutes after Spice Perfection won the race at Keeneland. He goes, I'm worried she ran her Breeders' Cup race right there.
Yeah.
But
no, off the layoff. So
because I'm on the phone.
Or Johnny, you at the drive-through window or something?
Johnny's at Wawa.
Actually, Vic nailed me this morning a little early. So he caught me in transit. I was driving to the Eagles were having a tryout today, and I was driving down there. I was going to try out, see if I could make the team. But so I wanted to get off the road so I could speak to Mr. Vic without interruption. So I pulled into a driveway, and of course, the owner of the property showed up.
And are the cops right behind him?
Well, yeah, that's about where we're at right now. And he just pulled up next to me, and I said, well, I'm on a conference call. I didn't want to be driving. And she said, gave me a disgusted look and said, well, you know you're on private property. So, you know, here's another one. The same lady.
Well, Johnny, you are the guy that uses the expression "get off my lawn." Now you've lived it.
Yeah. Oh man. So it's like one of these long suburban driveways that are like, you know, a quarter of a mile to the house, and you can't turn around. So I go all the way straight up to the house, and she comes from behind me, honking at me. She now comes at me from the front. She knew some other back way in or something. I mean, it's like, I'm getting out of here before the cops show up. I'm sure she's got pictures of my license plate, and, you know, they'll be coming to my house, knocking. I guess if you came home and I was in your driveway, you looked at me, you'd say, what the hell? He's robbing the place, right? He's got to be robbing the place. Look at him. Right? So,
oh, my God.
I hope the tryout with the Eagles goes better than the... you know, because I wanted to look at my PPs and, you know, be able to discuss the races.
So great.
You know, now I have to do it off the top of my head, which only has hair now. That's all it has left. There's nothing else on the top of my head.
Oh,
and Marty.
Go ahead.
I didn't get it. I need a Bic from you.
Bic!
Yeah, there it is. My day is completed.
Oh my God, Johnny! This will go down. This is a classic. Let's get a couple of. So you never really answered the question.
What was it
about? Who wouldn't surprise you? Who would be the least surprising upsetter?
I mean, it's a 9-horse field. I guess. I guess Dawn the Destroyer.
That's exactly the right answer.
She ran on real well in the TCA and galloped out in front and all that. So, if there is in fact a meltdown between Covfefe and Selcourt and Come Dancing, then I guess she could come get them all.
Well, Covfefe, Come Dancing, Spice Perfection, Selcourt. You said you talked to Peter Miller. What is this Mosi Cal? Why is she in the pre-entries for this in the distaff? What do we know about her?
I guess she wanted one other than or two other than last out. I don't have my PPs in front of me, but yeah, I guess he thought she's doing good, and why not take a look?
Do we know which way he's leaning?
Yeah, he's leaning. He's definitely leaning toward the distaff.
Okay,
as far as I know, I mean, it's her first preference. So I'm scheduled to talk to him this morning.
Sometimes that doesn't mean to mean anything.
Right.
Danuska's my girl for Hollendorfer.
For Dan Ward.
Well, Dan Ward and Jerry. Heaven Has My Nikki. Bob Hess, always game and with Luch.
Luch is all over Twitter or has been, you know, saying I'll bet you this and I'll bet you that she beats this or. Beats that, and
well, he's taking his whole bankroll from his wins in the Best of Ohio at Mahoning Valley. On I think he won two or three. He won one stake and a maiden and a claimer. So he whatever he won Saturday, he's going to put on the line probably.
I don't know about that.
I'm kidding.
Now, what was the name of the race he won out here about 10 years ago with it on the DQ? Smiling Tiger or
Ria Antonia?
Ria Antonia
with Maya Engelhart.
What year was that?
That's got to be when they were doing the three races, the 3 years in a row.
Probably 2011 or 2012 or 13, yeah. Okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
He must have hit a lick that day.
You think?
Yeah.
the horse that, and I brought it up with I brought it up early in the show, and I'll ask Johnny and you. Bellafina, 4-for-4 over this racetrack, and the turn back, which is usually a very powerful angle, Marty. Any feel for what she does in here?
I know that they want, this is according to Derek Lawson, they want to draw the nine hole so she can be out there and just stalk until the cows come home and hope that it falls apart in front of her. But, is she good enough? Is she good enough? I mean, she was one of those two-year-olds who was outstanding, and, of course, early in her three-year-old year, but ever since since she got beat in the Kentucky Oaks, she hasn't really been much of a factor. So I don't know. I mean, she's going to be – she's 15-1 on our line. I guess she'll be a little bit less than that. But and I would never talk anybody off a $30 horse, but I'm not going to be using her.
I brought up Engage earlier when Johnny and I were talking about the regular sprint. The horse that is sort of similar to Engage that's in the filly and mare sprint is Lady Ninja. And here's Baltus, who I respect so much. The win in the L.A. Woman over Anonymity. And I can tell you Mandela was really disappointed with Anonymity that day, and Selcourt was second. What do you make of a horse like this too? That is sort of feels like a now horse that is also going to be sixth or seventh choice.
Yeah, I don't know. She's one of the wild cards in here, Steve. She's she's an exclaimer, which it seems like there's a number of those in the Breeders' Cup this year. But her numbers say that she belongs, and if the race flow goes her way, I guess you'd have to think about her.
Well, all right. We've mentioned all the participants in the filly and mare sprint. Johnny, let's get a couple of thoughts about the features on the main on Saturday, and because I want to get Marty's thoughts about the Classic and the Distaff while I've got a chance to talk to him. And how are you? Let's start with the Classic. And how much decision making have you made?
Again, I've done a lot with the Classic. I've really looked at it. There's a couple stances that I might take. In other words, the three-year-olds, maybe they're not that great this year. I know Code of Honor's done well. He's improved. He's coming out to California. They didn't want to come. Then they did. He worked really slow. I mean, he did not work slow. He did 53-4, I think, in the mud. I wasn't really crazy about that. It just doesn't feel right for me. She's unbeaten at the distance, but I just think this is a little more than what she's been facing. Just because she's been unbeaten at the distance doesn't make two of those wins were in the Delaware Park. We're at Delaware Park. Those races are not this level. So I can move on from her. Higher Power, definitely. Got to keep him as one of my ones, and then I'm keeping. Todd's horse, Vino Rosso, he's one of the ones. I just was impressed with his race, watching it over and over again. He really ran well. He seems to be the kind of horse that's getting better as time goes by. The problem, I think, that the problem you have to deal with in here is McKenzie, because he's too good a horse to ignore. And yet, there are things about him that I don't like. I didn't like his race the other day. I didn't like the tail swishing when Mike was hitting him. I didn't like he was losing ground. I don't like that a mile and a quarter may not be his best distance. I don't like that his style is kind of in the middle. He's not a front row. He's not a closer. He's kind of in the middle. It just, I don't like the jock switch, even though Rosario is no, I have no issue with Rosario. I just don't like the way everything all came together. I haven't liked his workouts particularly. There's things I don't like about him. He may be favored, probably. I got to look elsewhere. And Vina Rosso is, I think, a good place for me to look. And then I also think that Sadler's horse, if he runs at Del Mar race, man, he is right in the picture. Can you forgive him because he stumbled last time and then ran okay after that? Boy, this is a four-year-old that seems to be developing at the right time. He's going to be a big price. You know, I got to use him. So that's kind of what I feel about the Classic. I know I missed horses too, but those are the highlights.
Marty, your approach?
I've got it down to four of them. I've got both of the Motts, Elate and Yoshida. Yoshida's classy, Elate. I was a little bit, somewhat surprised after the Spencer when Billy said, yeah, Classic's definitely still in play. I mean, I think he just kind of took that race with a grain of salt where she got beat. You know, what the jock said afterward that she might not have really liked the track that much. So I think she's definitely in play. And then Owendale, I think, is definitely an improving horse and has a nice kick. And Vino Rosso, solid as they come. So those are going to be my four. I'm with Johnny in that McKenzie might be the best horse in the race, but the mile and a quarter, I just don't have definite doubts that he can get that.
Interesting. And we're going to see McKenzie. The tractors are coming on for the 7:30 Harrow break, and McKenzie will be on the track immediately afterward for his final preparation. And haven't seen Baffert yet this morning.
He was upstairs with Gary Young about an hour ago.
Very good. So watching from up there. And although you know, I'm a little surprised it's as quiet as it is here this morning. Each day, as we get closer, it gets busier here at Clocker's Corner. But I kind of thought after yesterday, it was busy yesterday. I guess that's just a Sunday and locals, but things will build. Of course, there'll be the people that'll be coming out to see Johnny D when he's here on Thursday and Friday.
If he's not in a Philly jail, yeah. So
exactly, exactly right. All right, how about the distaff, Johnny?
The distaff. I'm all Midnight Bisou. I think she's the most probable winner for me on the card. I just don't see anyone that can beat her. I mean, she's been outstanding. I don't, you know, it's funny because in the Breeders' Cup, you've got to, and every day, you've got to look for favorites who you think are vulnerable. Like Kefevi, we talked about why she might be vulnerable. Yeah, or McKenzie, why he might be vulnerable. They can still win, but you got to look for favorites that you think maybe you can beat. I look at Midnight Bisou, the record's there. She's won at Santa Anita. I don't see any reason she should lose. They shouldn't get away from her up front. She's got the right style. I don't see it. She looks good working. I don't see it.
Who do you want to use?
That part of it I don't think I'm ready to kind of get into. Look, I love Blue Prize. How can you not love Blue Prize? So she's certainly a candidate. Who else do I need here? Ollie's Candy. Kind of interesting, but not in love with her. Paradise Woods scares me a little bit, but she's not what she once was, although that last race was awfully good. And John Sheriff's has kind of got her back on track. She's interesting. Here's one, Secret Spice. I would say that's my main threat in there, Secret Spice. 10 for
Marty.
13 in the money, and certainly fast enough to act with these. Baltus is hot as usual. She's interesting to me.
You know, Midnight Bisou, we got her 7-5 on our early line at DRF, but that's with Elate at 3-1 in the race. But assuming she opts out for the Classic, it's got to make Midnight Bisou the heaviest favorite on the card. I mean, she's got to be 3-5 or so. But I'm going to punch the Exacta Cold with Dunbar Road for Chad. I think she's a real nice filly, up-and-comer, and not a big fan of Paradise Woods. We've got her 5-1. Blue Prize, it seems like she tends to do her best in Kentucky. Everybody's a Nacho fan, though, so I wouldn't mind seeing her upset it. But, yeah, Midnight Bisou over Chad Brown.
Interesting. You know, the horse that, Marty, Tom Amos with the delay to watch Serengeti work after he was hit with appendicitis. And it, much like we think back to the Oaks, Nick Tamerill on Friday made a case that she breaks running and leads him on a merry chase. Any feel for Serengeti at this time of year as a three-year-old facing the elder?
I mean, when you looked at it on paper before the Oaks, you said, well, this horse hooks her or right. This horse hooks her, but nobody hooked her, and that might well happen in this race if Pratt's going to ride her.
Yes.
Goes on and sends her out there. So, yeah, I don't know. She got beat in the Cotillion and the test and everything, and I don't know if she's good enough or not. I'd love to see Tom Amos win. You know, he's been real good to me over the years. And so, yeah, that's the way it is with a lot of these races. You wouldn't mind seeing certain people win.
Well, and on that topic, in fact, grab the guy behind you.
Bren P. He's going to take my spot, right?
Yeah, you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
You
thanks,
got it. What about a Marty McGee price for the cup?
Oh, gosh.
Come on, give me one before you go.
I'll text you one later.
You're going to text me one later. All right. Marty McGee, everybody. And actually, we can maybe even, we could really potentially bring both Brendan and I don't know what Gabby's plans are, but I do want to talk to Brendan Walsh, and we'll get him while we got a chance. We're going to see. Okay, we'll see you later in the week. 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Outstanding. Gabby Gaudette, everybody, saying hello. And as threatened, Brendan P. Walsh, who I've said repeatedly, has a chance to sweep the juvenile boys races on Friday. Good morning. Oh, hold on. Let's get the mic on. There you go.
Sorry. Good morning.
That's me.
How are we doing?
How you doing? How am I doing?
Good. Good. We're hanging in there so far anyway, Steve. Managing to get a little sleep and that, you know. We haven't started walking the stall yet, but I'm sure that'll come in a day or two as it gets closer. But the horses are actually, they're being very good to me. They're handling everything really well. So, you know, we're not having any no hiccups so far from that point of view. So that's always a big help.
Talk about, let's start with the biggest feature, and we talked after Maxfield won at Keeneland, and it's so impressive and has really even gone forward, it seems, off the win. And the two horses that everybody's talking about making an impression in the mornings are Maxfield and Dennis's Moment.
Yeah, no, he's done well again. You know, he's matured an awful lot, Steve, the last couple of months, basically since he ran his maiden at Churchill. You know, just mentally and physically, it's like he's learned what he's here for, and he seems to have matured a lot. Physically, too, he's gotten an awful lot stronger, which we thought he would. He was basically a shell of a horse all year, but the last couple of months he's really come together physically, and you know, it's all coming together at a nice time. But on saying that, I think, you know, we still haven't seen the best of him, and I think he's going to be a nicer horse, you know, in 6 months' time.
How, for you, how do you judge a two-year-old and the maturity process? What, you know, what gauges where they are and what they can handle?
I think you just have to be a horseman and judge it for yourself, you know, by just watching them and the way they act and everything, and just their whole mentality comes from, really, Steve. Like I always say, you nearly see as much from a horse back at the barn as you do on a track. You know, how they eat, how they sleep, how they handle everything. You know, some of them are able for a lot of work and a lot of challenge earlier in their career, and some are not. And I think it's, you know, that's the hallmark of some of these great trainers, or these guys that are able to tell that, you know. And they're the people that you really look up to, and it's a pleasure to be around these kind of people this week, you know, and to be able to compete with them.
Coming out here, and did you include the track, you know, the knowing that how everybody had discussed how heavy and slow it's been, did that play into coming out just a little bit early?
I thought about it, but I have had a few runners at Santa Anita that, you know, albeit they were all in the marathon the last week.
Well,
few years. Well,
the first
one was the was actually still a Breeders' Cup race.
Yeah.
And he ran third, but we won two since, and we always did that. We worked their last work kind of the day or 2 days before they'd come out. And, you know, I wanted to stick to that because I think they get off the plane, they're tired for a couple of days, and then as the week goes on and just as they come up to the race, it seems like they blossom. They come into the new environment, the nice weather. You know, they get to see different stuff, paddock schooling stuff. I think all that stuff kind of switches them on gradually, you know, and you hope that come race day they're at their prime point.
Have you done anything in regards to the gate with him after a second sort of not bad start, but he doesn't break like a shot?
I haven't really, Steve. He's never, before we even ran him, he was never a slow gate horse. In fact, I don't think he's a slow gate horse. I think he actually leaves the gate pretty good, but I think he's so big, I think it takes him, you know, three,
jump
four
or two
strides.
Yeah.
And you get these sharper, you know, horses that are made a little bit differently to him, and they seem to be able to get out of there and get rolling early doors. But he doesn't seem to mind it. He takes the kick back well. I'm not going to force him. I think you start forcing him, then you start creating other problems for yourself with their minds and stuff like that. So, you know, we brought him back and stood him a couple of times in Kentucky, and we might stand him here maybe Wednesday. But, you know, no, I'm not going to start forcing him out of there. You know, it's always the bigger picture with this horse anyway. So, you know, we're looking at this, and we're looking at next year. So, you know, we're not going to do anything to put him off course.
Where would you like that? It's a modest-sized field. Where do you want to draw?
I don't think it really matters, Steve, to be honest.
Yeah.
With him. You know, I wouldn't mind getting maybe an outside, the outside half of the field. You know, I mean, he was a little slow away the last day at Keeneland, and he slotted right into a spot that a horse that didn't break so good would be coming from the two-hole, even though he was drawn wide. But I don't think it really matters with him, to be honest. I don't think it's going to have a big bearing on him.
Well, and obviously he's probably going to be third choice. It seems impossible that, you know, that with eight rings and with Dennis's Bowman, that, you know, he's third, clearly third choice. So this might be our last chance to get him at a less than a bigger than a favoritism going forward.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think, you know, for obvious reasons, Dale's horses looked very impressive. I mean, he looks very tough. Bob's horse is a hell of a nice horse too, and of course, at Santa Anita, who's better than Bob? You know, but look, we'll see. It's a good race. You know, whoever wins it is going to really have to run to win it, and I think it's a very good year. I think that the three of them are three very good two-year-olds.
Turn to the juvenile turf, and you've got Vitalogy for Qatar Racing and Mark the Temple and partners. This is a no-name never that every trip handicapper in the world is going to be all over after the late run and getting past Peace Achieved in the, you know, past the wire. Talk about, you know, what had to be, you know, very a very satisfying performance, and you said so, but where do you feel like you stand going into this race?
I think we stand in a good spot with him, Steve. I think he's going to improve again. You know, we didn't have a ton of time with the horse when we ran him at Keeneland. We only had kind of 3 weeks. It took him the first two to get over the journey and the trip down from Woodbine and the race at Woodbine, where he had a tough enough race. But the last week coming into the race at Keeneland, he really started to do well. You know, it's nice we've had a bit more time with him here. You know, he's been breezing good. He seems like he travelled good. He's an old pro, of course. He's got some for a two-year-old. He's travelled a lot now, and he's got the experience. So, you know, he was unlucky the last day. I think what's going to stand to him here is the fact that he's ran, maybe not so much with Woodbine because it's a big sweeping track, but, you know, he's ran on a tighter track at Keeneland, and I think we're going to have all that kind of stuff. We're going to need to have it all going for us, you know, when we're going to try and take on the likes of Aiden's horse and some of these others. So, look, he's in a good spot to make a good challenge at this race.
How quickly after he came to you after the summer, you know, Joseph O'Brien, of course, had him to start his career, ran at Nace and York and then came to Woodbine for the summer and was a very good third in there behind Decorated Invader. And you had him after that, and really he ran back in about 3 weeks, so he really didn't have a lot of time. What else have you learned about him since the race?
He's actually very straightforward, Steve. He's taken to the training, which has been fantastic. In the mornings, it doesn't seem to faze him at all. He doesn't seem to mind the traffic. He's done well, but that's the kind of horse he is. He just puts his head down and goes ahead and does his job and makes it easy for all of us. And that's what you want with these kind of horses.
Vitalogy and a big opportunity. Do you sense that really he can potentially be placed almost anywhere? I mean, he hasn't necessarily, you know, come from way out of it. It feels like, you know, that he could adjust to what happens in the front half of the field.
Yeah, I think we'll see how the race comes up and where we draw, and you know, try and come up with some kind of a plan from there. But he doesn't have a particular running style. The last day, of course, when he was drawn 14, he kind of had to spend, you know, save some ground, and we were out the back early on in the race and try and maneuver his way through the field, which I thought Javier did a great job with him trying to do that. But, you know, maybe here if we get drawn in a little tighter, he breaks pretty good. You know, I think he's gotten a little better too for that. And, you know, we'd probably be in behind the pace if we're drawn, you know, middle to inside. Maybe a little further back if we're drawn a little further outside. But I'm going to leave it to Javier. Far be it from me to tell him what to do.
Well, and I was going to ask you, had Javier sided with you? Because he did ride Andesite for Brad Cox, the last pair as well. So I wasn't sure if you had secured him or not.
Yeah, no, he was very keen to get back on the horse, I think. You know, he had to be after the way he ran at Keeneland,
sure.
Steve. So, yeah, he was pretty keen to get back on him.
Well, you come in on Friday with two very, very big chances. Neither will be favored, Vitalogy and Maxfield, but both, you know, clearly in with chances, and they're going to be on a lot of tickets. Speaking of being in, let's look to what people are also going to be doing before the Breeders' Cup rolls around. Mountain Air, a Spitestown. For Cheyenne, coming up later this week at Churchill. This is a 3-year-old that has taken some time to make it to the races.
Yeah, I haven't had him an awful long time, Steve. I've had him about a month, 5 weeks. He looks like a nice prospect. You know, he's been working good, and we think a lot of him. The draw gods haven't been very kind to me lately. I hope that changes here today. He drew the outside of the field, but you know, hopefully that won't come against him too much going three quarters at Churchill. But it is tough for a first timer to come from out there. But he is a talented horse, and we're looking forward to whatever he does here, he'll improve a lot, and I do think he'll be a nice horse as time goes along.
Do you have other horses from Mr. Dobson? Or
I do, yeah. I've got a few. I've got a nice horse called Elite Class, who's still a maiden, but he's probably been the unluckiest maiden in the United States so far. He's been second his last two starts. He made his first start when Dennis's Moment won his maiden, and we were expecting a lot of him, but you know, he got struck into going down the back in the race, and he kind of didn't know what to do with himself then, but he's come along gradually as time moves by, and I think he's actually going to be a pretty nice horse when the penny drops. Yeah,
elite
yeah.
class, nice. And how about the two-year-old on Friday at Churchill, Halama, and this is a Pioneer of the Nile out of a Bernardini mare, a filly, a two-year-old for Sanders and Hirsch.
Same thing. We're first on the alsos there, Steve. You know, I'm hoping this draw thing goes away from today. I had another nice horse yesterday drawn 10 of 10 and a two-turn maiden at Churchill as well. I think somebody in the racing office doesn't like me. But no, she's a nice filly too, and I think she's another one. She's well-bred. She's another one that's going to turn into a nice filly as time goes along. We've got some nice young stock this year, for sure.
Well, and you've brought them to the fore right away. You know, you had a few others that I think you hoped to, you know, potentially step forward. You and I talked about Extravagant Kid, that was a hard lot in the Bourbon. Otherwise, you might have brought him here for the turf sprint.
Yeah, he looked like he had a lot of horse, Steve. You know, you never know, and it's typical turf racing, but we were drawn again. We were drawn down inside, and it didn't work out very well for us. We were in behind two speed horses that backed up and just had nowhere to go. It was the day that that Maxfield won the Futurity. I was starting to think it was going to be the start of a bad day, but he turned it around for us. So, but yeah, that was a little unfortunate. But there you go. But he's been a hell of a good horse, good servant, and we're going to run him hopefully later in the month, actually, in November. We're thinking of taking him back up to Kennedy. He likes Woodbine. We might run him into Kennedy Road.
Nice. Grade three there. And you mentioned yesterday, Banks Island also, right? Was that the one that was outside?
Yeah, he was drawn wide outside as well. We had to shake him up to leaving the gate, and he was just doing a little too much after that and probably didn't quite get the two turns. We were trying it for obvious reasons, but we'll either go back to one turn or maybe try a little turf with him next time out. He is a nice horse, though.
Well, another two-year-old that's already made four starts, actually. Look at the 2 seconds, and I'm sure yesterday was a little disappointing, but overall, no complaints. That race is going to be a good race, because I had Al Stahl earlier, and that sharecropper he's excited about. Mm-hmm. That's a serious horse.
Yeah, there was three or four of them in there. Steve Asmussen had a nice colt in there, too. Steve, so I think there is, yeah. The maidens at Churchill now are starting to get very, very deep. They're getting tough, you know. This time of year, they're always tough.
No, and the opportunity to bring two stake juveniles to a Breeders' Cup, and a big, you know, big opportunity, obviously, for you. And just, you know, you've gone from strength to strength, and year after year, more clients and better horses coming your way, and you're making the most of every opportunity. So very excited for you coming up on Friday.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Good chance you'll be hearing Brendan again next Monday. That's when you really want to
be. I hope so. I always like talking to Steve Bick on a Monday.
Well, Tuesday's good too a lot of times. Brendan Walsh. And you should be following Brendan on Twitter, although you're not a big Twitter.
I do.
A little bit. A little bit.
Tweets and retweets, but I'm not big into it. But, you know, I do like to follow it. I mean, it's a great source of news, especially this week.
No doubt. And also a great source of misinformation.
Yeah, and there's been some yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, and opinions.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, no, it's great. And it's great this week because there's great, fantastic coverage here, you know.
Yeah.
So it's there's been some really nice pieces on there.
Brendan Walsh and Are you going to stay around for Saturday?
I am, yeah, yeah.
Right? You get to enjoy Friday, and then you can blow out.
It'll be a shame to to come here and not hang around for Saturday and enjoy it. I mean, it's the weekend that we all love because it's such high-quality racing with some great horsemen and great riders. And, of course, we've got our European contingent, too. So it's just all very exciting. It's great to be a part of it, Steve.
You must also, you know, you mentioned the Europeans. You must run into people that you haven't seen either in years or, you know, that you stay in contact with but only get a chance to see, you know, a couple of times a year.
Yeah, yeah, which makes for a kind of a dangerous week leading up to the whole thing.
Well, because when the lads come in and the pubs,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's always great to see people from home, and that it's always fantastic. And, you know, we wish everybody luck and hope everybody has plenty of good luck and all the horses are safe and the riders and everything goes according to plan.
Absolutely. And final question I've been asking everybody, who has impressed you along the way this fall? Keeneland, Saratoga, anywhere along the line, horses you've been watching work out that in other races, a horse that you think people should know about?
You know, a horse that I think in the juvenile that could very easily get a piece of it is my old boss's horse, Eddie Keneally.
Scabbard,
yeah. I thought he was a little unlucky in the Iroquois. He got steady down the back and maybe didn't get the run of the race. I'm not saying that he would have beaten Dale's horse, but I think he'd have given him a good run for it. And, you know, people are talking about mine and Dale's and Bob's horses, but I wouldn't leave that guy out of the trifecta either. Now I think he's a pretty nice horse.
A little push for Scabbard. I like it. Brendan Walsh, everybody. Let's take a break. The tractors are leaving and the horses are coming out, are they? Yeah, there's a couple of ponies out, and we're going to be watching for McKenzie. Who you like in the Classic?
I think it's a tough race, Steve. I think it's hard to pick. There's a lot of it's very dependent on a lot of things, but McKenzie might be the one to beat, you know. I mean, they're always tough here. If he, you know, he just seems like he might be the class horse of the race.
And people seem to be lining up to go against him, and I was here for that big cap, and I mean, I don't know what else he was supposed to do. He gets beat, you know, like this to Gift Box at a mile and a quarter, and he's not a mile and a quarter horse. What are you talking about? What was wrong with that effort? So I don't know. Well, we're going to watch him work out here shortly, and I haven't seen usually the Baffert. I'm surprised that when the tractors left the grounds, they were supposed to work at 7:45, and there's a chance somebody else said that it might work after the next break. Yeah, you got to go.
Yeah.
That's fine. We're just making conversation. Brendan Walsh, everybody. Your horse has been out?
No, they're going out shortly. So.
All right, we watch it. Brendan Walsh, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, tremendous. One of our absolute favorites. Let's take a quick break, and we'll see what's going on. I'll send out a couple of texts to see what the story is, because there was some speculation that I heard Baffert say 7:45 yesterday, but it didn't come out, so unless I missed him. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Play the Empire 6 at Belmont Park, featuring daily payouts and a carryover jackpot. Best of all, it only takes 20 cents to take down the Empire. One unique winning ticket earns the entire net pool plus the jackpot carryover. Without a unique ticket, 75% is distributed to winners, with 25% added to the jackpot. The Empire 6 consists of the final six races each race day at Belmont Park, and the next jackpot carryover mandatory payout is Sunday, October 27th. Learn more at nyra.com/Empire 6. The Empire 6, play small and win big.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, flood stock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Dick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. California, indeed, and we got Johnny back on the radio, back on the phone, and what a perfect opportunity it is to put together two of the greatest jock agents in history, Ron Anderson here, Johnny D back on the phone. I should just turn it over to the two of you, Johnny and